Everybody, Jeff Prather with you, former special operations soldier, intelligence collector, and special agent turned whistleblower, targeted by the deep state, now outing fake news and exposing the deep state to help us restore our republic together. Welcome to the Prather Point. And the first thing I want to say is a very happy Father's Day to all those dads out there. I'm one of them. I'm wearing my best dad ever shirt from my kids. And I just want to express how important that is, that all of history and all of the metrics, all of the data show how important dads are. If the dad died or was divorced or something, the kids make it. But if there was never a dad, if there was never anyone to claim that mother and to claim those children and give them their name and declare them under their protection and under their family, then all the metrics and all the data show that the failure rate is very high. And today on our chaplaincy at ChristChaplaincy.com, a couple of my spiritual sons were running it, and I was just listening, and I'm getting all kinds of nice calls for my spiritual sons that I have helped over the years and are now fathers themselves. But I especially want to shout out a thank you to my father, who, if you don't know, I'm a product of rape, and I was in an orphanage, St. Joseph's Orphanage, and my great dad, Maurice Prather, World War II Pacific veteran, U.S. Navy sailor, took me out of that orphanage and adopted me, and he is my true father. Got no idea who my biological male parent is. And then after adopting me, he did it again, and then he did it again, and then he did it again. And so, Dad, if you are able to listen today, I know I already called you and talked to you, but everything I am as a man, as a husband, as a father, as a warrior, as a soldier, as a teacher, as a leader, I get from you. And my dad is the guy who got me into martial arts when I was afraid to join the football team as a kid. And that changed everything. We trained together. We went to Japanese martial arts. We started in 1967. It's funny because my dad fought these guys, the Japanese, in the Pacific. And it was funny sometimes to hear Japanese karateka talking about the war. And then he introduced me to Apache culture. And later on, I found out that my birth mom was actually from Comanche, Oklahoma Indian Territory. And I had a great adoptive mother, my true mother, and she's passed now. But can't emphasize enough how important fathers are. And to kind of sum it up, you know, moms pick you up when you fall, dads teach you how to get up and teach discipline. And with discipline comes freedom. I was just talking about this in the dojo yesterday with a full dojo. And so you got a fancy setup here today because I'm streaming on YouTube. So I hope you guys can hear me on YouTube. I saw the mic complaints and I'm working on that. You got to remember I'm a dinosaur, but working on that. And you can let me know if that is working because I can see my chats there. Thanks, Donna, for the compliment already. And I especially want to shout out to all those fathers who aren't afraid to discipline their kids and be stern with their kids, all those traditional fathers who protect them and give them boundaries and rules so that they can grow up, not just trying to be their friend, because you're not their friend. You're something much more than that. Friends will come and go. But the discipline you instill in your kids as they're little will make all the difference. And every once in a while, I point that out to either my wife or I point that out to one of my spiritual sons about what's going on that is so important. You know, my wonderful daughter got up the other day at 5:30 to start grooming the horses on her own. And I told my wife, that's huge. She's already getting herself up at 5:30 a.m., self-discipline. You know, when they were taking people off of welfare, one of the things they had to do is go in and wake them up. Why? Because they were staying up till 1 and 2 in the morning, so they couldn't get up in the morning. And of course, us military guys are used to getting up. So can't say enough of importance about fathers. So you have my respect, and it's a tough job. It's tough to be the guy that says things that nobody else wants to hear, and the hard truths, and have discipline when no one else wants to do it. So really important shout out there. Also, shout out to any Indige up in Canada. This is Indigenous Day up in Canada. So there's plenty of First Peoples up there. And I've worked with some of them up there in the Squally and stuff up there. And so that's really important as well. Coming up on the first break here, and I will try. Oh, no, I got a little bit of time. Okay, good. So a lot going on. And I also want to now I'm up on StreamYard on YouTube, and I'm up on Patreon. And thanks for the Patreon support. And, you know, I'm putting up special content up there, and I just put out some of the content is just Patreon only. And, if you want to support the show, you can go onto Patreon, or you can go onto PayPal at jeffreyprather.com. You know, when I'm telling you at the beginning, someone was saying, I'm saying, I. So I get the I thing. I'm giving you my bona fides of how I got to where I'm at and how I'm able to predict what's going on, because it's the template that was done to me as a whistleblower is being done to everybody else. And so understand that as well. And then the ads I saw, and, you know, I don't mind criticism, but I've been criticized plenty. Like my sponsor, which is my first and most passionate sponsor, Perfection Auto Works, Mike Emery, there. I am always telling you, if you're in Tucson, to go see him, because he is a patriot and he is a local businessman. And that's how you fight globalism. And globalism is communism. And that's what the Yellow Vests are. That's what the Hong Kong protests are. Of course, they're trying to counter that grassroots movement now. But that's really important. But when I do tell you about my dojo, BujinkanUSA.com, if you haven't noticed, there's a lot of guys getting beat up in mobs right now. So you might want to learn how to defend yourself. I can teach you that at BujinkanUSA.com. I've been in business longer than Mike Emery has in town, although he's been around a long time, too, 30 years. And on Saturday, we had a good full class. And there's a lot of leadership lessons that happen in there, too, as well. If you want to read about the drug cartels and what's going on the border, and the truth about the border, I had a note from somebody today. That's my book, Chase, and somebody gave their husband my book, Chase. And going back to the issue of fatherhood, that's really what initiation is about, my other book that is so important about training our kids for adulthood, that boys and girls are born, men and women are born, but you got to train men and women for adulthood. And if you're worried about all the shooting, that's warriorschool.com. And that is my handgun martial arts class every Wednesday night. People are coming to that. I've stopped doing my security guard class. I'm backing off that. Kind of like the blue flu that's happening. But we will talk about that. Now I'm past a break. So I'll be coming up to a break here. And I forgot to turn on my screen. Too. We forgot we were so busy setting all this stuff up, Kent, but I got a call. But we're going to go to a break right now and caller, hold on, and I'll try and get you. I'll take your, I guess I could, we'll figure that one out. Yes, short caller. So we'll go ahead and take a break and be right back after this. This is Jeff Prather in the Perfection Auto Works Studios. Right back with you after this. So thanks, Kent, for staying with me. And I'm going to stay on the air. Hang on. This is Jeff Prather on the Prather Point in the Perfection Auto Works Studios. Right back with you. Mike Emery, thanks for sending me that question there. But I'll get to that in a second. But I got a phone call from my wonderful wife. Hi, honey.
Hi, father of my children, who I love and adore. We just wanted to say Happy Father's Day. Hey, girls.
Happy Father's Day, Dad. We love you.
Love you. Thank you. Thanks for calling. Wow. I said they shouldn't have to do that, but that's really sweet. Thanks. Man, I got homemade donuts today and coffee, and I just got gift after gift after gift, and then I had on the chaplaincy call, I had all my spiritual sons talking about me, and some of them are becoming fathers, and some of them are becoming grandfathers, and so very fulfilling day for me. So, and again, happy Indigenous Day to all the Indigenous Autochtones up in Canada, the First Peoples. I really like that term, or First Nations. I think we should use that here more. And thanks to everybody. So, to get back to Mike Emery. Mike Emery is my first and most passionate sponsor here in town. He's at Perfection Auto Works at perfectionautoworks.com, and you should stop in there and see him. And that's another thing you can do is if you stop in and see him, you're gonna be around like-minded people. And I stopped in another auto shop this week that is friends of mine, and they weren't wearing masks either. So I know that the mayor has put out the latest mask policy again, and I was on another show this week. I was doing John Michael Chambers, doing a lot of shows, and he asked me what was going to happen. I'm going to say, well, rallies bad, riots good, and that the COVID-19 discriminates now. That's what you're seeing with the fake propaganda going on. But if you're at local places like Mike Emery's Perfection Auto Works, you're going to be around like-minded people. And several of the places I've gone in this week, they weren't wearing masks, even though the mayor's saying to do that. And Kent and I were talking about that. Hey, I have a respiratory condition, and I'm exercising civil disobedience. You know, like the rioters, or I guess I could say the protesters are doing. Let me get into, and I also posted something on Lethal Force. And there's, a show coming out on Eric Garner on Monday. And back when Eric Garner happened in New York, if you don't remember, it was about four undercover New York police officers, and they were busting a big, tall black guy for selling individual cigarettes without a tax stamp. And I was like, what? So Gotham City, heavy crime, and you got four undercovers or three undercovers, and all they got to do is that? That's just ridiculous. Remember, I was an LEO. I was a federal special agent. And then they put a chokehold on him. They cuffed him, and he was passively resisting. He wasn't fighting like Rashard. That's a whole other story. And if you haven't been on my channel, please go to my YouTube channel and subscribe and share. And also go to jeffreyprather.com and subscribe. And all my podcasts are on jeffreyprather.com. Not all my stuff is on YouTube. I'm getting there. And then my books are also on there, and lots of other stuff. And then there's very much a lot of content that I'm starting to put up on Patreon. But I also put up a little video clip of Lethal Force and how you could legally and legitimately shoot someone in the back. And so before you freak out, you know, I've been a firearms instructor since 1993. I was a federal DEA special agent firearms instructor. I was a primary firearms instructor. I was an NRA law enforcement officer, pistol, rifle, shotgun instructor. I've been an ILFE, International Association of Law Enforcement Firearms Instructors, keynote speaker at their annual training conference, where 500 to 700 cops from all over the world, including Hong Kong, came. And throughout the week, they could take different classes, but on Friday, they just had to sit and listen to me. And I showed real hands up, don't shoot, not like Ferguson, which was fake. But it's not what everybody thinks is they watch some TV show and they watch some video and they play some video game and they think they know how they can do this. I saw Dan Bongino, another fellow 1811, on Fox, and he was with Gerardo, and Bongino was going, you know what you're talking about, and Gerardo's going, hey, I knew cops, and I've interviewed cops, and I had family of cops, and I stood near a couple cops once, and as if that counts as training. And so you don't understand what's going on. So the clip I put up shows very much so about reaction time and how a back shoot could be legitimate. So I thought I'd talk about some of that today. as well. But I'm also on Twitter. I'm also on Instagram, also on Facebook, a lot of Facebook stuff. And I put out this week that blue flu is coming and to get out of Atlanta soon. Because there was a several, and this was before it was on the news. There are several divisions of the police department that weren't even covered at all. So that's happening in Atlanta. That's happening in Seattle. Atlanta's a rough town. Used to go to Bujinkan Taikai's there at the CNN Tower, which has now been broken up. Seattle, I think there, Minneapolis, there's violence. Seattle, they just found a body, cut up. There's been shootings. Minneapolis has got, I think, 11 shootings, one killed, over the weekend. And what's happening is these are becoming insurgent, areas. And so, I think I held up last week, or I don't know whose show it was on. I held up the SOCOM Unconventional Warfare Guide. Did I do that on this show? No, really? Well, geez, I'm doing all these other shows, and I'm not holding it up on my show. So here is the let's see if I can get that on camera there. Yeah. So there's the SOCOM Special Operations Command Unconventional Warfare Pocket Guide. And that's what in Special Forces, and I got to serve on a B team as the S2 in Special Forces. And Special Forces do a lot of unconventional warfare. And so there is a, and I've posted this on Instagram, and I've posted this on lots of on Facebook and stuff. There is a guide for where we're at, and below at the clandestine, it's increased political violence, terror, and sabotage. And then it's shadow governance activities. And then above the line of overt, going from clandestine to overt, it continues with the shadow government activities. And some of the stages are begin to get the populace to resist, build a resistance movement. And so what did you hear right after Trump was elected? What'd you hear all the time? Resist. So this is right out of the manual. And then as you create these chop, chaz, whatever zones with armed guys, with borders, those become safe areas, much like Cambodia was during the Vietnam War. And there's video out there now, of, the Raz of Chaz guy, the rapper guy, opening a trunk up and handing out long guns to people. Well, that's importing weapons. And they're trying to be covert about it. So they're not, because they got it on video. But really, is that arms smuggling? Yeah, it's in the back of a trunk being driven into Chaz. So that's arms smuggling. So how I became a Fast and Furious whistleblower was what? Arms smuggling. And ATF smuggling guns south in exchange for DEA letting the Sinaloan cartel run drugs north. It was a covert international gun-running operation. Benghazi was a covert international gun-running operation. Syria, with Clinton and Obama, was a covert international gun-running operation. Those guns are still out there killing people, and now we're seeing guns coming into Chaz and CHOP. And rest assured, they're coming into other safe zones in other areas in America. So the cops that killed Floyd are under arrest. The cop that shot Rashard is under arrest. So there, the system is working. If the system is working, why still all the protests and riots? Because it's a Marxist revolution. Black Lives Matter, the owner of the co-founder of Black Lives Matter, Patrice Cullors, confirms they are trained organizers and Marxists. What are they organizing? What do Marxists organize? They organize revolution. How do you have a revolution? You build an insurgency, beginning with a resistance to resist, and a shadow government. What's the shadow government of the United States? Well, that's Obama still trying to run stuff with all his operatives, Comey, and everybody else that we are slowly weeding out. So for those of us who have worked in this field, this is very clear and obvious. There's no doubt about it. It's black and white. Anyway, coming up on another break, I'm going to take a quick break. This is Jeff Prather on the Prather Point in the Perfection Auto Works Studios. Right back with you after this. And I'm going to experiment with staying live and go ahead and talk to... It's like flying a C-130 here. Okay, Kirk, thanks for holding. And welcome back to the show, brother, and happy Father's Day.
Hey, brother, happy Father's Day. And please give a big hug to your dad. You're right, he's a great man, and you're blessed to have him.
I am, and you're quite a father with that, with Amelia doing so much great stuff. That's really impressive.
Thank you very much. Yes, feel very blessed, very grateful to God for that privilege of being a father. Hey, I wanted to jump into something, if that's okay, time being precious. Information operations, that what's going on in CHOP, CHAZ, in our neck of the woods, and what's going on in Atlanta and Minneapolis, I just want to encourage people not to fall for this. This is an information operation. You can flesh this out much better than I can, but this is a movement to demoralize the conservative base. They want people to think this is happening all over the country. And I'm not minimizing the seriousness of the attempts of these violent communist revolutionaries like BLM and Antifa. So I'm not minimizing or underestimating our enemy, but this is an IO action, information operations, and what they're trying to do is demoralize conservatives.
Yeah.
And don't fall for it. This is only happening in a very small amount of blue run areas.
Okay, so to summarize, I guess you guys can't hear, you know, Kent came in early and we tried to set up something so you guys could hear the callers, but I guess it's not working. What Kirk is saying is, and Kirk and I were commissioned together as second lieutenants long ago, and we're still close, and we've been everywhere from Japan to Korea together. He's saying this is an information operation they're trying to make like the whole country is up in arms, and it's not true. And of course, it's not true. And got that. Thanks for the call, Kirk. Did you have anything else to add? But just keep it short if you do.
I will. That Trump is smart enough to not fall for this. They're trying to bait him to overreact. And the smartest thing he can do is what he's doing,
So trying to bait them to overreact is because what you want to do is increase in unconventional warfare. And Kirk and I both got to serve in special forces. He served in National Guard, 11th. And I got to serve in 7th Special Forces. And one of the things you want the government to do is overreact, is push back and repress the people. So then you alienate the people from the government. So the shadow government gains power. And that's what they're trying to do right now. And that, I'm sure that is one reason why, and Kirk and I are both in agreement on this, that Trump is being very careful. And Q says lots of times you got to show people, you can't tell people. And so that's one reason why a lot of this is still going on. But they're building cases. And Barr was just talking about today working on the case. He just did an interview with Maria Bartiromo on Fox. She's kind of like a stealth reporter on there, and he's talking about this stuff is ongoing and it takes a long time. So Paul, thanks for what you got. You got Paul there? Yeah. Okay, Paul, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. Yeah, from another old veteran. I kind of disagree with this BLM and stuff being a small operation. Every time I turn on a sports channel or even CBS, NBC Sports, they're promoting heavily all these things about BLM and Antifa and the police cruelty on all these television stations.
You're right. Thanks for the call, Paul. So it is being promoted everywhere, and that ties into Mike Emery, something he wanted me to cover. So we don't have many tall buildings in Tucson, folks, but we have one on Broadway. And I used to have a corporate security competitive intelligence client in that building, but there's a big BLM sign on there. And Mike was asking, hey, if that's a city-owned building, then can I put up a Perfection Auto Works sign, or can you put up a Warrior School sign? And that's a great point. But if it was everywhere, then why would everybody need to support it and put it out there? And you're seeing lots of ads going out there. It's because it isn't everywhere that they're trying to make it seem, like the polls, okay? So do you remember the polls? Clinton is winning. Trump can't win. There's no way he can win. Remember those polls? And now, what are the polls saying again? They're saying the same I don't know if I can cuss on radio. I don't have a button. Same thing. They're saying the same thing. When you look at Biden's rallies, and he's got like five guys sitting there in his basement or whatever. It's totally informational warfare. It's totally propaganda. And what is it? Well, a lot of the race mongers, Jesse Jackson and Sharpton and stuff. You know, Sharpton years ago pretended that there was whites that abused a young black girl, and that turned out to be a total fake effort where they supposedly smeared feces on her and stuff, and that was totally fake. And then what they do is they go to these big companies and say, if you don't give us money, then we are going to boycott, and we're going to have everybody boycott you. And so they are blackmailing. That's extortion. That was 20 years ago with Sharpton. Now they've gotten really good at it. And so everybody's jumping on the bandwagon. But it's even worse than that, because you'll see, not only did you see all these COVID-19 commercials, stay at home, stay masked, and they're trying to still get that happening, very professionally produced propaganda, because they have infiltrated that. So the most left-wing organization in America is education. So that's why you've seen, I think I said last week, about over 50 university scientists and professors who've either resigned, fired, or under investigation by the FBI for contacts with the Chinese government. After Epstein was convicted of child predation, Harvard gave him a fellowship and gave him a building afterwards. And then, of course, Lieber was arrested by the FBI in January out of Harvard, along with other two Chinese spies. And there's about 50 others that are going on. So so the left is a wreck, and the university system is a wreck, and the school system is a wreck. That's why you talk to lefts, and they don't know anything. They don't know that George Washington, in his will, freed his slaves, that Martha Washington freed her slaves before she died. She was afraid of getting poisoned or something, but she did that. They don't know any history. Aunt Jemima thing, Nancy Green went from being a slave to a very successful Oprah-like figure. They took the maiden, the native maiden off of Land of Lakes, which is Indian territory, Minnesota. I see there's some Minnesota folks. Minnesota in Dakota means smoky water. And when I'm talking to Indians, they're saying, yeah, okay, erase us from the land like we were never there. Although most names, Arizona, Mexico, Ohio, Kentucky, those are all Indian names. And so they're being replaced with professional propaganda. But anyway, Mike, to get back to your thing about the building, that's our government, that's our city government, our left-wing mayor putting that sign up. That if that is indeed a city-owned building, I don't know. In Seattle, in Chop Chaz, whatever it is called today, that is Seattle taxpayers paying for porta potties, for water, for the particle board for them to write on, and letting them destroy businesses while you're paying taxes. So just like I tweeted this week to those in Atlanta, is if you are in some democratically run city and state that has been run into the ground, get out now, or don't open more businesses there. and do not cooperate with the police. Support the police. Chris DeSimone's doing a great thing for doing that, but don't talk to them. They're not on your side. Don't support activities and businesses that do this. Fight back civilly, not violently, because I know somebody out there will come after me again because they've been coming after me since 04. Okay, but do not support them. And let them know about it. What's going to happen with these cities is, unfortunately, they're going to be run so far into the ground that all that's going to be left is it's going to be a safe zone for insurgents. And the citizens, especially the poor citizens there, black, white, yellow, red, are going to be the most victims of these extortionists. And that's really sad. And eventually, hopefully, those governments will collapse and we'll rebuild those things. But it's real sad. Anyway, coming up on a break, this is Jeff Prather on the Prather Point in the Perfection Auto Works Studios. Right back with you with the final segment right after this. Jeff Prather on the Prather Point in the Perfection Auto Works Studios. Kent and I are got all this tech in hand. Yeah, I feel like Iron Man here. Welcome back for the final segment. Still got a lot to cover. I have talked to George Webb. I'm really sad about that, and he is really helping me out. And another great shout out to George Webb. Renee, thanks for waiting. You're on the air. Go ahead. You there?
China and all that. And then what you said, it looks like the guns are in place. China's on the move. We got the flu, the riots, the useful idiots, masks, chaos. It looks like subterfuge to me, and I don't want to assume. So could you spell it out? What's the end game?
Sure. Thanks for the call. So so there's as Barr said the other day, there's a witch's brew of bad guys. We have a lot of enemies, foreign and domestic. So the Chinese have been trying to take us over for a long time. But the last time I was activated in 03 to 04 for the second Gulf War, when I was the chief of global operations at DIA, we won the conventional war in 3 weeks. Because we knew the media would turn against us, because during the Tet Offensive of the Vietnam War, Walter Cronkite billed that as a total failure when it was a total victory. We stopped the North Vietnamese Army cold. They were defeated, but Cronkite said the exact opposite. So we know now, especially because I worked in psychological operations and informational warfare, that we have to win quick. So we won the conventional war in 3 weeks, the second Gulf War. The Chinese were watching us. We all watch each other fight wars, and they concluded that nobody can take the United States head on. So they developed a doctrine of unrestricted warfare, which means we'll fight them on every front. And the Chinese are not trying to take us over. That would be a terrible thing for them. They just want to be the dominant superpower and hyper-economic power. However, that is failing dramatically. So all of the market stuff, all the midway movies, all the Netflix stuff, all the stuff made in China, the COVID was released for that purpose, but it's failing. China's economy is failing. America, Australia, Britain, lots of countries are pulling out of there. China's got ongoing fighting with India. China is always fighting with Russia on the borders. Steve Bannon just went with a Chinese millionaire saying we've got to throw out the Chinese ruling class. When the Chinese officials are walking through Wuhan, the people are yelling it's all fake from the windows. That's not me saying that. That's Chinese in Wuhan saying that. So the Chinese are in great trouble. At the same time, the communists who have been supported through these international movements, through Soros, through Saudi Arabia, through all these movements, are funding insurgents at the same time. Eventually, insurgency has to become conventional warfare. That is, you don't win with guerrillas. Think about World War II. Think about the longest day, and the call goes out on invasion day. Jean has a long mustache. Jean has a long mustache. And all the French guys go grab their guns, and they're gonna help interdict the Nazis as the conventional troops come along. That's what finally has to happen for the insurgency. You have to go from unconventional warfare to conventional warfare. That's just doctrine. That's the way it works. Most insurgencies contrary to public opinion, fail. And in Vietnam, the media portrayed Vietnam as a failure. Now, I'm not saying the Tonkin Gulf incident that started it wasn't fake. It was. I'm not saying it was a just war. And I'm certainly not denigrating my Vietnam veteran brothers. But we won every battle in Vietnam. Every battle. We never lost a battle. And yet we lost the war because of informational warfare like Kirk was talking about. So, is America believing COVID-19? I don't think so. I'm going to businesses and people are laughing at it. Yeah, I still see people walking down the street by themselves in masks, but whatever. So I just don't think that's going to happen. Why I think that's not going to happen is because when you make things harder on people, like with bombing, you know, Hitler thought he could do this with London. We thought that we could do this with the Vietnamese, except for nuclear bombing. But bombing, when things get harder, London, all this stuff, it brings people together. It brings people into tribalism. It brings people into the circle. Everybody starts working together when things get harder. So I don't think this is going to work. That still means we got to get out and vote. We've got to not patronize globalist stuff. We've got to patronize local stuff. But I haven't even gotten to my important stuff this show. But I will take your call. Hey, Dr. Tom, welcome to the show.
Hi, good afternoon. I was just saying my neighbor just got called back to Saudi Arabia. The Saudi government flew he, his wife, and two children back to Saudi Arabia, and they'll be putting them up in hotels till they can find a place for themselves to live. I guess they're calling the entire country back to Saudi. Any information on that?
Yeah, that's a great point. So if you couldn't hear Doc Tom there, his neighbor just got recalled. They're flying his whole family back to Saudi. And so the Saudis have not been our friends. All the 9/11 attackers were Saudi. It's Wahhabism. Wahhabism is the doctrine of America's the great Satan, Israel's the little Satan. And I have been saying for quite some time that Saudi Arabia is funding a lot of these movements, like Black Lives Matter, through Germany and on. And so I appreciate the call. Thanks for calling. Let me point out some things here really quickly because I'm running out of time. Well, big story I haven't even gotten to, I want to make sure you hear, it's kind of off track, but since it's on top, is the CIA's cyber weapons were hacked and stolen in historic breach of security. The largest theft of data in CIA history happened because a specialized unit within the agency was so focused on building cyber weapons that an employee took advantage of lack security, according to an internal report. The equivalent of 2.2 billion pages of text. The theft was revealed around a year later in March 2017 when WikiLeaks published what it claimed to be a large trove of CIA documents dubbed Vault 7. Remember that Hillary talks about the people on the seventh floor, Vault 7. And the writers admit that we failed to recognize or act in a coordinated fashion on warning signs that a person or persons with access to CIA classified information posed an unacceptable risk to national security. So in a letter to the new director of national security, national intelligence, DNI, Radcliffe, Senator Wyden asked for more information about the widespread security problems. The material published by WikiLeaks in 2017 suggested that the CIA had become the globe's preeminent hacking operation. Okay? So this is WikiLeaks coming out, and they are the preeminent hackers in the world. But they got hacked. Well, actually, a guy took it out because they had no security. And then this is the blockbuster. This is the bombshell. To hide its operation, the CIA routinely adopted techniques that enabled its hackers to appear as if they were Russian. So now, of course, the dossier has been completely discounted. It was phony. There's no evidence of CrowdStrike, what CrowdStrike says. By the way, CrowdStrike has got commercials on Fox News for cybersecurity. If you want to know what a joke this stuff is, okay? But, of course, the dossier comes up with it's a conversation in the bar. It's a subsource that a guy hears a voice from on YouTube. It's been completely shown to be a lie, perjury, and that Mueller knew and Comey knew. You know, Dan Bongino handles that real well. I don't need to go into that. But this is new. Because remember, they were trying to say the Russians, right? The Russians. So I just want to say that again. That the WikiLeaks hack shows that the CIA is the preeminent hacking organization in the world, and the CIA routinely adopted techniques that enabled its hackers to appear as if they were Russian. And of course, Mueller indicted those Russians, right? What happened with those Russians, with those Russian indictments? They were dismissed because they were bots. They weren't even real people. And now we find out that they might not have even been Russian bots. They might have been CIA bots. So things are looking up. Anyway, thanks for listening. Keep the faith. This is Jeff Prather. We are winning. I'll see you next week. Subscribe to jeffreyprather.com. Subscribe and share.